you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Jed Hoyer.
People care so much about the Cubs. It's an honor to work for a team where the fans care that much.
Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
World Series champion general manager.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting and player development machine. The Cubs way.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer.
Yep. Be reporting Christopher Morel, part of the trade that's going back to the Rays in the Paredes deal.
And those hugs are kind of confirming it, aren't they?
Yep. And you're talking about top-notch personality in person and still a ton of talent, and he's young.
Yeah, you got to give up something to get something.
Jed Hoyer with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Very appreciative of Jed Hoyer's time the day after the trade deadline on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. You should know that Jed supports Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News & World Report. Of course, located at 225 East Chicago, right here in downtown Chicago. He's with us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What's up, Jed?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well. Man, we could go backwards. We could look forwards. Is it weird to see Morel hit two home runs in 2 days?
He's streaky. There's no doubt. I mean, he gets hot. He gets really hot. And I mean, listen, I think the world of Chris. You know, he's really talented hitter. Now, obviously, this year he struggled on the surface, but you know, the expected numbers were always really good. And I think that's who he is. You know, for us, I mean, it's hard to trade away a talented player like that, and especially with his personality. You know, he's just a wonderful kid and great for the fan base. But ultimately, it was really about, you know, positional. Positionally, we felt like, you know, finding a player that we felt like it could play third base for us for, you know, the next few years and help also stabilize our offense was really important. And that's something that, you know, we found in Paredes. So, I mean, anytime you – you know, trade for a all-star caliber player, you're going to have to give up real talent. I think Chris is very talented, but ultimately it was about, you know, the roster fit for us and that made sense for us.
So the offensive profile for Isak Paredes is very different. You got a guy who does pull the ball in the air a lot, but he also has a two-strike approach. He's got, I guess, the 12th best contact rate in baseball. It's a guy who walks a lot more. What kind of effect, you know, in a domino sense, can a bat like that have on a lineup? And do you wish you had it earlier in this season?
Yeah, you know, certainly I think they are, you know, different profiles. And I would say Chris made really good strides as far as, you know, walking more and closing up some of his holes. But, you know, Paredes really does, you know, it's a low strikeout rate for a guy with power. It's a high walk rate. It's a really good approach. He sees the ball really well, hits good pitching. And yeah, you know, I think obviously the way we've hit this year, having another bat like him going forward makes a ton of sense. You know, so like I said, for us, really, it came down to, you know, the offensive profile we liked, but also it was, you know, the ability to play third, given the fact that, you know, we had some other positions on the field that we felt like were taken, you know, and closed up some options of places that we could play Chris. You know, I think Michael Bush's emergence, not only as a hitter, but really just a, you know, he's playing Gold Glove quality defense at first. So just took some options away. We felt like the right thing to do was to to go find a third baseman.
So I learned the phrase diversification of the lineup from you and Theo, I think, when Zobrist got here, you know, and like maybe when you traded for Daniel Murphy, too. Now that you've got Paredes, does the lineup still need to be diversified more?
Well, one person, I mean, is not going to change, our offense. I think that as we look at what things I'm looking forward to seeing over the next 2 months, we need to be much better offensively, and certainly whether it swapping out Paredes and sort of his approach versus versus Morel, that doesn't solve that issue. We have to have a lot of guys in that lineup. I think have had solid years, but ultimately we haven't had anyone really overperform their projections, and we haven't hit situationally. And I think when you look at it and you look at this team, we've pitched well enough to be a contender, despite the fact that we have as many pitching injuries as almost anyone. We've battled through and pitched well. We haven't hit enough, plain and simple. And that's been a problem from day one. And, certainly the expectation was not that, Isak Paredes could come in and change that. We think he's certainly part of the solution, but I'm hoping over the next 2 months that we look more like the offense we were last year. And that certainly would give me some comfort going into the offseason, because there's no question that, looking at the way we played this year, the offense hasn't been good enough, and we haven't scored enough runs, and that's obviously put us in the hole that we're in.
So if the offense looks like it did last year over the next 2 months, you think the team is close-ish to being a contender? If it doesn't perform at that level, bigger changes coming? Is that a fair way for us to frame this?
Well, I think that, that's probably a little bit more binary than I would phrase it, and not surprisingly, but yeah, I would like to see, I would like to see us play well over the next 2 months offensively, because I do believe that this group is better offensively than we've been. I think that we simply haven't clicked on offense. Obviously for 2 months, we were the worst offense in the league for 2 months, and we've been a little bit better, but even still, we've had some games we broke out, but far too many games we're scoring zero or one. So that's really what I'm looking for over those next 2 months, is hopefully the offense will come together and look more like last year. I think that obviously, I think, would give some comfort going into an off season. Frankly, this off season going in, we felt pretty comfortable with that part of the team.
Well, I don't mean to be reductive or too binary, but I guess that's kind of what I was driving at, right? Like, you didn't make a ton of changes to last year's team, and the changes that you made a big change at manager, obviously, but then Bush has been good, Shota has been good. They've both been great, you could say, and the team has underperformed. And then in the previous answer just now, you were like, we've got some positions kind of locked up. You've got guys there, whether it's Bush or guys like Saya and Happ with no trade clauses, or Dansby on long-term deals, things like that. I guess I'm wondering, how many places are there to change this lineup if you decide that you need to?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is we have a lot of that. Like, I think third base, is obviously a position that we were looking to solidify, from an offensive and defensive standpoint. Obviously, the catcher position this year has not hit offensively. Jan was last year. Was part of that offense and hit really well. And obviously that didn't happen this year. And Amaya has struggled, though he's been better. He struggled. So, the catcher spot is one that obviously struggled, but, I would say overall, you're right. I think that what it really comes down to is, there wasn't a lot of changes this off season. Last year, I think we scored the sixth most runs in baseball. We were over 800 runs. And, this same group together hasn't performed. Guys haven't had the same kind of years. And, the natural follow-up question is, okay, which one is real? And I think the honest answer that I have to look back on is, I think you sort of fall back on, where guys' projections are. And I think that we still project to be a solid offense. We haven't, to this point this year, I still believe this group can put it together. And that's what I was saying. My hope is that over these next 2 months, we play a lot closer to our projections than what we played so far this year.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself rethinking your ideas of team building when something happens like this, where, as you said, 2 weeks becomes four, becomes six, becomes eight, and now you're wondering what the mix is? Are you rethinking some of your concepts?
I think anytime you struggle, I think you soul search and you think about those things critically. I think you'd be lying to say that you don't. Sometimes I think that, there's a level of randomness to our game. There's a reason we play 162 games, that's a reality. But yes, I think of course, as you struggle, you think about, all the different decisions you made, which things you passed up on, which things you did do and did you do enough? And of course, that's just the nature of these jobs. I think that, you're always A, trying to get better, but B, you're always thinking about, which decisions you did or didn't make when you're struggling. You wouldn't be a competitor, and you wouldn't be kind of thorough at your job if you didn't think about all those things.
Jed, I feel like this team needs a star. Again, maybe that's too reductive for a talk show host, but stars cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Are you fundamentally against the $300+ million contract?
I would not say I'm fundamentally opposed to it. I think that, with any deal like that, there's a lot of risk. And I think that obviously at some level you're paying with any of those deals. If you're assuming that you're signing that player in free agency, there's an awareness that most likely the end of that deal is going to be highly inefficient and that you really have to, gain the efficiency early in that deal. So yeah, I think there's, of course, there's a lot of risk in that. I'm not fundamentally opposed to it. I do think that, there's probably, I'm probably more risk averse on those kind of deals. And I think those are the deals you sign the Hall of Famers too, but the truly elite, I think that there's obviously a lot of risk in them. But I mean, fundamentally, are there players in this league that I think are definitely worth it? Absolutely.
Yeah, there's one in this offseason at least. That guy, there's one, that Soto guy. Can fans dream of you guys being in the mix for a player like that?
I mean, certainly, I can't comment on things like that. So it's a good attempt, but obviously, such comments are against the rules.
Okay. Well, how about this one then? Will the first competitive balance tax level be the barrier it seemed to be this past offseason?
Yeah, I think we have an idea of where our payroll is going to be, but certainly we don't have the exact numbers yet. We'll sit down over the next few months and look at those things. But I think at this point that we have a rough idea, but not a exact idea.
On a few specific players, wanted to ask you about, Dansby was awesome last year. You signed him to a big contract, not one of those crazy ones that I was just talking about, but a big contract. What's gone wrong this year?
So I would say this. I think when I think about his year, and obviously he'd be the first person to say that his year has not gone as he hoped. I do think that early on, I think when he hurt his knee, I do think he played banged up for a bit. I think you definitely saw it on defense where he kind of wasn't himself and didn't make a few plays that I think he makes in his sleep. He's been much, much better defensively since then. And I think he's been really good defensively over the last, 2 or 3 months. Offensively, I think he got in, whether he got in some bad habits when he had the injury or not, that's sort of speculative, but he's probably gotten some bad habits and, he's gone from, really being an elite fastball hitter to, to not hitting the fastball as well as he usually does. So he's struggled. I don't think this is something that he won't get out of. I think he certainly will, but within any given year, sometimes it's hard to right the ship.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were talking about this the other day on the show. You guys used to have a core, right? It was KB and it was Rizzo and it was Lester and it was those guys. And then you guys were talking about we got to build the next great Cubs team. Who would Jed Hoyer say on the big league club right now is the core of the next great Cubs team?
That's an interesting question. I mean, certainly. I think when you look at our offense, from last year, I think, how we performed, I think you look at, the guys, both corners, Saya and Ian, are both really good offensive players and both had good years. Obviously Cody, was exceptionally good last year. And I would say, one of the big differences I think between last year and this year, if you think about what happened in July and August of last year, I mean, Cody played, like a 6 or 7 win player during that, during that stretch. I think that certainly had a massive impact on that run we went on. That was a star level player that you mentioned earlier. He played like a star. He's been solid this year, but obviously hasn't played at that level. But I think we saw that the impact that can have. And obviously, you know, Dansby and Nico, I think having those guys in the middle is unbelievably valuable. And, you know, both guys are, you know, terrific offense, defense players, you know, when they're right. So when I look back at this, at the first 4 months of this year, you know, I think we have some guys having solid seasons. Like I said, I think, you know, when you look at teams who overperform projections or have really good years, almost always you're pointing to, you know, a number of players that are outperforming, you know, where they are projected, where they have been. I think last year we had that. You know, Dansby came in and played exceptionally well. Nico had a terrific year. Cody had an unbelievable year. I think this year, when you look at it, I think on offense especially, I think probably only Michael Bush has been above, you know, where we had him projected. And I think, you know, sometimes we lose sight of just that's, you know, how does a team have a good year? It's because players, you know, outperform or play better than projections. And we just haven't had that this year. My hope is that, you know, over the next 2 months we do. And then obviously we talk about, you know, next season, I think, you know, our guys, you know, sort of resetting and hopefully, you know, coming back and having, you know, better seasons than last year, maybe even like really outperforming expectations. That's how teams outperform. It is, it's not a, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of things factors in, but I think ultimately, you know, having players play, you know, above where people expect, that's how you have a season where you outperform your win projections.
Got Jed Hoyer here with us on Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score. You told us at the beginning of last week that the window continues, looking to build for 2025 and beyond, and then the trades dovetail with that. Isak Paredes, the kids you got, although Neely is close, from the Yankees, and Nate Pearson. Did you turn down some trades that would have been headlined by prospects that are not close enough to the major league level, Jed?
I wouldn't say turn down, but I would say that as we were thinking about different deals, like our focus with teams was closer. And like I said, I was pretty careful with my words when I met with the media last week and said that, you know, we're not going to do rental deals. That doesn't make any sense for where we are in the standings. You know, if something's only for 24, we're not going to do it. But we said, hey, if there are moves that we can make to reposition ourselves for 25 and beyond, then we'll do those deals. And I felt like the deals we made, you know, did that. And so as we were talking through deals, yeah, I would say, yeah, there was probably a reluctance to do deals that were, you know, for, you know, far away prospects. And, you know, when you look back at our deals going way back, we made a bunch of deals for, you know, for those kind of prospects. So it was more how we positioned ourselves and the players we asked for were almost always, like, you know, relatively close or close to the big leagues for prospect returns.
Yeah. So you said yesterday also, paraphrasing, like, you were close on another one and a team backed away for whatever reason. I do you call after the deadline and be like, hey man, what happened? Like, do you get clarity on why something fell through? Cause I do think people kind of expected you to do more.
I think you always do that. Like, I try to debrief with other teams after the fact. And, you know, it's valuable. It's valuable for the relationship. I think it's also valuable to, like, hear what happened and hear how, you know, the other teams think. But no, what I was really saying is that it's really hard to make deals. You know, like the number of deals that are discussed, the number of phone calls you get from all these different teams is so many. And then actually the ones to get across the finish line, it's really difficult because for the most part, you know, like there'll be, you know, a team will be talking to four and, you know, have four and five different offers from other teams and they'll be shopping them, or on the buy side, they'll have four or five, you know, potential deals with different, say, relief pitchers, and they're choosing one. So to actually get a deal consummated is really difficult. You know, obviously we got three done. We talked about a number more and just weren't able to line up and on the value. And, you know, there's no reason to do deals for players you don't believe in, or no reason to do deals that don't sort of, you know, that don't match, you don't match up on value. So we had a lot of conversations, but you know, those were the three that made sense that we lined up on.
Jed, last time we talked about Saya's issue in right field, and since then, Toy has been let go, and there's a different translator. Did that have anything to do with the difficulty in communicating about that kind of issue?
No, not at all. Those relationships are interesting. You know, I think that players come over and they don't speak a lot of English when they come here. And I think as they get more comfortable, sometimes the role of that person just naturally becomes less because, you know, the person can understand more English, can communicate better. So that was really the reason. I think say it got to a place where he just felt more comfortable, sort of on his own and with his trainer, and it made sense to let Toy go. And Toy is a great kid. I think he did a terrific job for Saya for 2.5 years, but it was really just a matter of sort of, I don't say outgrowing that relationship, but just having been here for two and a half years, I didn't feel like he needed him anymore. And that was really the reason that he was let go. And I understand anytime there's something like that, there's people imagine the most nefarious things or speculative, but really that was the simple reason. Toy's a great kid, great employee, but they just kind of outgrew that relationship.
Last thing for me, Jed, we get questions in football season about the backup quarterback, though hopefully not this year for the Bears. With the Cubs, we'll get questions about prospects. You said you want the offense to perform, and I assume that that's the guys that are here because you need to know if you can trust them, but if these games stop mattering, how many prospects can we expect to see towards the end of the season? Or is that not a part of your offensive evaluation?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Something we'll talk about over the next few weeks now that we're past the deadline. It is interesting. In today's game, how much harder it is to break in as a hitter than it used to be. I think that, candidly, I wonder oftentimes if what happened, say, in 2015 could happen today, just given the quality of pitching. Even in that amount of time, the way the game has changed, I think breaking in is that much more difficult. So, that's something we're mindful of is, how do you break hitters in? And I think Pete's going to hit in the big leagues, for example. I think it's going to take him a lot of plate appearances just to get used to it and to adjust. Luckily, his defense is so good, his base running is so good that he can help us win while he makes those adjustments. But it's a difficult thing now, much more difficult than it used to be, and that's something that we're very mindful of.
So your partnership with Craig, you guys have an opportunity over these last couple months to either look at some new players like you're talking about or further self-scout. This is an opportunity for you guys.
Yeah, you have to look at it that way. These games count, and we're playing major league games every night, and obviously – we put ourselves in a position where, making the postseason became on paper something that was, highly unlikely. And therefore, yes, we do have an opportunity to look at some different things and think about things differently. And we'll do that. I think that, the idea that you're not going to, make these last 2 months very useful for us, I think that would be a mistake. I think, just because, we're not, heavily in the pennant race doesn't mean this isn't important for the organization. Doesn't mean we can't learn a lot and figure some things out. And I think we'll be spending a lot of time, Craig and I will spend a lot of time together with Carter and everyone else in the front office, talking through how to use these last 2 months.
Jed, thank you so much for the time and the candor. We know it's been a really busy time. We appreciate it as always.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. See you at the ballpark. Jed Hoyer again supports Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked number one children's hospital in Illinois by U.S. News and World Report. I think there's stuff to react to there before a Bears report with Mark Grody at 5 o'clock. We can open up phone lines again as well. 312-644-6767. The idea of outperforming projections on a team that is kind of locked into guys and accepting who they are or not, I think is a really interesting place to think about what this Cubs team can be going forward. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
That Soto guy, I mean, can fans dream of you guys being in the mix for a player like that?
I mean, certainly, you know, I can't comment on things like that. So it's a good attempt, but obviously, you know, such comments are against the rules.
I don't know if it was a good attempt.
It wasn't a good attempt.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I'm just being honest. It was not a good attempt.
Well,
I'm guessing you know the rules better.
Yeah, I do.
Not even a veiled tampering question.
No.
That was a direct tampering question.
I thought your question about the $300 million player.
And I thought that was a good question.
Yeah, it was.
I cut you off, sorry.
I was going to say there. I was going to get it.
It's fine.
But Jed, him saying I'm more risk averse than others on that is part of a package that leaves a lot of fans nonplussed. After that interview, there's some financial restraint, which may be restrictions or just some choices. That overall outlook has left some fans nonplussed.
Right. Because, yeah, some of those contracts bust out. Some of them don't. But that's how you get Bryce Harper. That's how you get Juan Soto.
That's how you get Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and then win a World Series in Texas.
So Cody Bellinger played like that player for a lot of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You need guys that are 5-win players, 6-win players, 7-win players. If the hope is they got to just outperform projections to do it, that's wish casting. You know, that's not what happens when Aaron Judge has a season like he's happening right now. He's playing to his projections.
Yeah, it's putting a lot of faith in your own evaluations, which can go well or cannot go well.
And in a lot of in just overperformance. There's something to be said for the guy that gets paid the most.
Also is great
mm-hmm. in any walk of life,
right.
in any industry.
And if he's great for 7 of the 10 years you sign him for, that's the price of doing business.
As long as you hang a banner. We'll get some reaction here. Ray is in Orland Park on the score. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you. Every time I hear Jed Hoyer speak, I'm always reminded that he's not Theo Epstein. We got the runner-up in the lab partner championship. He's a mathematician who wants to be a baseball player, and it's just someone's going to see that sooner or later. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that's probably a little bit more binary than I would phrase it, you know, and not surprisingly.
Not surprisingly.
That was awesome. I get one of those out of Jed every time.
Freaking great.
Yeah, he's like, okay,
not surprising. Well,
host.
You know, you do a different job than he does.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good.
Yeah, you know, he gets the job.
The wrong winner of the lab partner championship.
Tim in Madison is with Parkins and Spiegel. Go ahead, Tim.
Ouch.
Hey, boys. Hey, that was a great interview with the president of the Cleveland Guardians just now. wow. I mean, this guy, now he in the offseason, he's selling us the youngsters. I have a farm system. It's number one or number two. And now at the end of the year, we're not going to see the kids play because we have no – he's blocked every position on the field. I mean, that was a disgusting interview. I've been calling him for all year. You've got to make a change. Go get me a Dombrowski-type guy that's going to put his nuts on the line and do it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tim.
Wow. You know, I mean, it is – there are no spots if he really likes his guys and likes his core. I'm looking at free agent catchers and free agent DHs because – they're locked and loaded just about every other spot.
Or trade targets at those positions because he still has prospects that he can and needs to trade from. It can't mm-hmm. just be free agents, as evidenced by the $300 million answer also. Not that every free agent gets that kind of money, but still. Pat in Burr Ridge with Parkins and Spiegel after Jed Hoyer. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, guys. I listened to your interview with Jed. And I'm a executive search consultant with over 30 years of experience evaluating talent. My question would be to him, why is it the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a much lower payroll, have more talent, young talent, playing today than the Cubs do? And how does he expect to improve the team next year without making some significant changes with the existing talent that he has now?
Well,
noted.
Yeah, I mean, reasonable question, Pat. Thank you. I mean, the Brewers organization is definitely proving to being better, and that not just being the council part of it. You've talked about how the council thing is not just a manager. It's going to take time to infiltrate all levels of the organization, but that was not what we were sold. The guy overachieves with little resources. Imagine what he could do with a lot of resources.
Listen,
that was the sales pitch.
The Brewers and the Guardians and the Tampa Rays are incredibly impressive paragons of forced efficiency. They know they're not going to be able to go above a certain number. They know they're not going to be able to pay for great players. So they have prioritized scouting, drafting, developing, and teaching at the highest levels, at the very, very best. And they're really, really good at it. And it becomes something you're forced to do as an org, and it kind of self-propels in terms of using those guys early. The Cubs are not quite the Phillies as an evil empire, or certainly not the Dodgers or the Yankees. So they are in a kind of a tweener spot, and they don't scout and draft and develop and teach as well as the Brewers. They don't.
Joel in Oak Park after the Jed Hoyer conversation. Go ahead, Joel.
Hi there. I haven't called in a long time. I have to say, even from the beginning of the season, I did not understand any of the positive expectations. You can go back and listen when Hoyer spoke after the season ended last year. His words were, we lacked slug. We need to add more slug. What'd they do? They dumped Candelario and they replaced him with Bush. And now you asked a great question, what's the core going forward? And he named left field, right field, center field, first, second, short, and third, and the designated hitter as his core. And you might remember way back in 2017, the offense was broken. 2018, they proclaimed the offense was broken. And year after year, they did nothing to fix it. Yeah. I don't understand how Hoyer stays.
Well, you know,
he's going to get another year.
It's interesting. It's an interesting catch on the answer to the core that he named all those dudes, because that's what he's been trying to build. He's been trying to build a thing where everybody is pretty good. You know, everybody's okay, or at least okay, or maybe pretty good, as opposed to superstar, 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 and let's hope some of these kids pop. And we'll keep throwing kids at this spot until we get some of those kids to pop. But we got superstar and superstar. You know, they don't have those. They don't have those. And that's why I asked the question about, are you rethinking your team building philosophies? Because I would be if I were him.
And he said they always reevaluate things, right? So that's the out. Yeah, of course, we're always thinking about stuff. We're always self-scouting. We're always reevaluating. The question's going to be, if this offense struggles August, September, what do you do in the offseason? You asking guys to waive no trade clauses? You trade in Nico?
Yes. I mean, now I'm not saying yes to Nico. I'm saying asking guys to you know, get aggressive and shuffle. You know, I like the Morel and Paredes deal because it is an aggressive shuffle of what seems like an asset. And obviously it is an asset.
But yeah, I thought it was a creative trade.
I thought it was a creative and aggressive trade. And it's the kind of thing that Jerry DePoto and A.J. Preller and others have done for years. And it's like an old-fashioned baseball trade. I got a guy who's pretty good, but you got a guy who's pretty good in a different way, and I want to get him. I'll throw in a couple extra kids, and this will change up our mix. Yeah, if they're bad the next couple of months, they should probably do another one like that. At least.
Mark Grody in 20 minutes. Some really compelling audio about a huge story in town. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Well, that, and there's the name.
Afternoons on The Score.
Is Pedro, for all intents and purposes, safe for the next couple months?
You know, we just wrapped up the deadline.
Okay, I didn't know.
Just wrapped up the deadline and just wanted to, focus on that. And then, you know, we'll get through tonight once again, kind of debrief and look through the players that we acquired, and we move forward from there.
It really tugs at the heartstrings, you know. It's what a warm endorsement of your manager. Today's 17 losses in a row. Is that right? 17?
That's correct, Danny.
That's a bit above average.
Yeah, there's only been two 10-game losing streaks all year. The White Sox, with a 14 and a 17, just for good measure.
And a 15, right?
No, that's what they've had, is the 14 and the 17. Those are the only two 10-game losing streaks all season long.
Maybe
in MLB.
I'm thinking of myself.
No, the Odyssey softball team's undefeated.
No, I'm talking about in terms of like my fandom with the White Sox. Oh. It's been a season of a losing streak.
Every game you've watched.
You realize that we live in a world where Morel's homered twice, Tommy Pham has hit a grand slam. Like these things are happening, you know, all over. So,
well, listen to that. When Eloy got traded,
yeah,
Chuck and McGuffey and Beckham were on an NBC Sports Chicago, and this is not a conventional reaction to a trade on a flagship.
Hold on.
Eloy!
No way.
That is not real. I said this, if this happened on the podcast.
Come on. Jeff Passan reporting that the Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire outfielder.
He's been getting it in the air. He's been getting it in the air.
Sources tell ESPN. Are you kidding me?
All right, we don't know anything. What's the return?
Eloy, a flipping bag of balls. I wanted to say the other word.
I cannot believe it's come to that.
This is a joyous day. This is a joyous day. I've talked to you guys. Know where I sit with Eloy. He's a bit. That guy is as catastrophic of a failure as any player that's come through the rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, he's been. I mean, considering.
I can't believe a team would take him on. Can we get a thank you Orioles graphic made? Instead of thank you Eloy. Thanks Cubs. Thanks
thank
Orioles.
You, Orioles.
White Sox dump outfielder Eloy Jimenez's contract. Sending him to the Orioles.
I like.
You like the dump.
Dump his contract.
So basically, they may not get anything in return. He dumped it might just be you guys pay the rest of his salary.
He dumped on us for 6 years. Guys, come on.
Oh, Ryan McGuffey. I love the way that man eats a Twix bar. And I like, I found that very entertaining. That sounds mild for the score, but for a team flagship.
I'm just saying, on a TV network, it was celebratory, and I get why Eloy has been so polarizing and such a lightning rod. I'd like to hear that level of criticism for Chris Getz or Jerry Reinsdorf on that network.
Well,
but they won't.
I don't
because they can't.
Well, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but like,
so, I mean,
but the Eloy thought. I mean, it's obviously informed by a few things. The disappointment. All the injuries, but there's also, like, there's effort level stuff for Eloy.
Is he doing everything that he can to stay healthy
Correct.
And stay on the field?
Correct.
That is the question.
Uh-huh. And does he... Exactly. So, and I think that can be very frustrating to people once you know some of that stuff. So I think it did inform that.
I mean, I know it informed that. It still is... It's so... As a fall guy for this whole thing, I mean, I just haven't heard them be. Ozzy will be really critical, you know, but to hear that collection of people.
Well, how often is Guff even on there? I think that was part of the trade deadline stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's always on the White Sox Talk podcast, but that was just a video version of it where they normally don't do the video version. My issue with the whole thing yesterday in the discourse on Twitter, Ryan McGuffey. Hears things. Ryan McGuffey is tapped into the White Sox world. Ryan McGuffey is not going to say something that he doesn't know to be true. And also, he's not going to say something premature where it fractures a relationship. So for the people angry about Ryan McGuffey's enthusiasm toward Eloy's dumping yesterday, sometimes you have to withhold things. Sometimes it's not appropriate to bring it out until, like...
The criticism would have been, why didn't you say any of this when he was here?
Exactly. So that's the business. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't say things.
I didn't see the discourse until today. Our old teammate Herb Lawrence and Ryan McGuffey going back and forth on it.
Good.
Sure?
I like a little media beef.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. Throw some jardinera on there.
I thought that was good stuff from Guff.
Yeah. What's the latest on Crochet? I haven't read the Jesse piece yet that just came out.
Crochet talked about what he did and why he did it, and said that whether a deal went through or not, I don't think it was dependent on that being said or not. He's talking about like the stuff that got out there about his agents putting it out there. I think any team would see the amount of innings I threw last year and find it reasonable So ultimately, I think it was the right call. Crochet defending his agent's move of putting it out there publicly and to other teams that he wanted the extension. He said, anyone can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I think it may have come across as greedy to some, but those in the industry realize that it's logical to have that line of thinking. He is, I think he's the first guy to my knowledge to do that at the deadline when he has 2 years left on his deal. So that is that is an area that he's willing to camp out in, and he's going to get some flack for it, and he seems to be just fine with that.
He should be fine with the flack. Who cares? The team's awful, and he's good. So he's not the problem. The issue that he's going to run into is he's going to take the same stance in the offseason. I want an extension before I get traded. But a lot of his trade value is the cheapness. So what team is going to trade for him mm-hmm. with an extension before seeing him? And then he just might still be on the White Sox.
Yeah, it's why Tyler Glass now ended up in L.A. because they were willing to pay him. You know? And the Cubs were in on Glass now. But I don't know if they were willing to pay. And some other teams were in, but I don't know if they were willing to extend.
Maybe the Cubs will trade for Crochet and extend. I mean, I would have thought that that would be a lot more viable if they would have traded Tyone yesterday. But now that Tyone's still on the Cubs, I don't expect them to do much in the starting pitching market this offseason.
No, not necessarily. As long as if Steele finishes well and Assad finishes okay and you've got Shota. I mean, Hendricks will be gone.
Cade Horton, you hope that Ben Brown comes back.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll want to see exactly what they have left there.
Yeah, but I would not expect much the resources to be allocated there. And it sounded like, Jed said to us flatly, he was like, we've pitched well enough to be a contender, even with all of the injuries.
That's the crime of it all.
So because you were wondering if they still believe in their pitching infrastructure. They clearly do.
They clearly do. That's why I decided to skip that question, because the bullpen is number two in all of baseball in ERA since June 1st. That's 2 months.
Yeah.
Last 2 months. They've figured out some people. They've figured out some usage. Now that Leiter is gone, we'll see how much that is damaged. So some of that is for counsel. But yeah, no, I think they do still have the belief that they can fix arms and put them out there in the pen, which is how this league works. See, all those trades, it's all about the same kind of thing. You know, you let Jeremiah Estrada go and the Padres pick him up and fix him. Now the Blue Jays have given you Nate Pearson. It's your job to pick him up and fix him. Probably give him a splitter that they wish they gave Jeremiah Estrada, you know?
It was a fascinating day at House Hall because DJ Moore gave what Courtney Cronin called one of the best Bears press conferences in a long time. We played some of it earlier in the show on Caleb Williams and the football stuff. We've got a lot more in this Bears report with Mark Grody, including just an all-timer. You get $80+ million guaranteed. How are you celebrating? You know, we say these athletes, we can't compare them to us. No. DJ Moore, he's just like us. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.